There's a series of books out there that maybe you've heard of, maybe you've probably seen one. They've sold over 200 million copies of various editions, various themes. And it's the For Dummies series. And there are over 2,500 titles in that series. And they include things like this: Birdwatching for Dummies. I thought you just went outside, you said there's a bird, but apparently there's more to it than that. Here's a good one: Desserts for Dummies. I like that thought. Fishing for Dummies. Investing for Dummies. And here's one, we probably all need to read: The Internet for Dummies. Parenting for Dummies. Now that one really bothers me, because if you're in the dummy crowd, I don't know if you need to be doing the parenting part. But and then there's Sailing for Dummies. So there's all sorts of things out there to try to help us. Now, why are these books so popular? 200 million copies. Well, why is that? Well, I think people are trying to figure out how to do things, how to make life kind of work, how to understand the universe around them and the world around them. You know, if you need a book on fishing, that's important to know that. Somebody said this about them: I buy them because they take the intimidation out of the learning process. Whatever the subject matter, they spell it out in simple terms. They make the complex understandable so that even a regular guy like me can get it. Now this morning, we're beginning a series in the book of Proverbs. We'll call it Making Life Work. And I just kind of disclaimer, it's based off of a book written by a fellow by the name of Bill Hybels. And so, you know, I'm just borrowing some of the themes out of that. So if you hear something that sounds, well, that's really profound, that's probably Hybels, not me. But this is what Proverbs does. It takes these complex ideas and things and brings it down to something that we can wrap our heads and our hearts around. Now, keep in mind, sometimes people think of the book of Proverbs and think of all those proverbs in there. One, they're not fortunes, okay? It's not like opening up a fortune cookie. You're not going to get your lottery numbers out of there. They're not promises. Some people read promises, well, if I did this, I'll get that, and that's how it works. That's not really. What it is a series of observations. It's a collection of different observations about how life works, about how people are, and how to make wise choices. They give us insight into human behavior and attitudes and outcomes. And as you go through this, and I just want to encourage you to be thinking about this, you know, if you look in your outline on the other side, there's a 5-day kind of a reading guide. And I really want to encourage you to think about reading through the book of Proverbs as we go through this series and thinking about some of the things here. And one of the things you're going to see, and it's helpful to understand, is that ultimately the book of Proverbs is practical. It's a practical book. Listen to this. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time, he looks but finds nothing. Now, what's it telling us? If you don't work, you won't eat. If you're lazy over here, don't be surprised if you're hungry over here. That's very practical, isn't it? Here's another one. The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. Now, you see something like that, and you kind of think about, now, wait a minute, what are we talking about, the scales and such? You know, I know when I go to step on the scale in the morning, I thought, this is a dishonest scale right here. Well, you know, back in the day, you had a scale, but it wasn't unusual to kind of fix the scale so a little bit, to kind of overweight one side or the other so that the businessman, the merchant, made more money. It was kind of tempting common practice. If you go to the gas station, if you're ever bored sitting there while you're pumping your gas, you see the thing, a little sticker there about it's certified kind of by the weights and measures, you know, because they're making sure that when there's that little thing spins around or the little digital thing reading, that you're actually getting what it tells you you're getting. But ultimately, here's what this is coming about. That's just kind of the observation. But what we're told here is the Lord hates cheating and loves honesty. Can that be any more clear? Whatever you might be tempted to cheat at, whether you're a merchant or a competitor or married, whatever you're thinking about cheating, Scripture wants you to know, the writers of Proverbs want you to know, the Lord abhors it. But he loves it when we're honest with ourselves and with other people. So it's a very practical book, but it's also a poetical book. It uses a form of poetry that was very common back then. Now, it's not the kind of poetry that you and I know. Roses are red, violets are blue, the sky is above, and I love you. You know, it's nothing like that. It was more of an ancient form that would use a lot of repetition to kind of drive something home or to use contrasts. And it uses a lot of word pictures. And so sometimes you might go, I don't know what that word means to get the picture. Well, to be blunt, Google it. Look it up. And you can figure it out. But you can be a student of the book of Proverbs very, very easily. And what this poetry does, though, is gives us a word picture that helps us to remember it. And that's what's important. So you kind of see it in your mind. Let me give you an example. If I could kind of tell on myself, I've mentioned this before. When I was a younger man, especially in high school, you know, read through the book of Proverbs, and you see how many times the word fool pops up and what the fool is doing. And I was just dumber than a box of rocks, you know, at times. But one of the things that I kind of did, and was kind of out of a sense of low self-esteem, was I could tell a good story. Unfortunately, it wouldn't be a true story. But at the end, you know, after a little bit, I say, I'm just kidding, man. I really never did that, or I don't know those people. In fact, I had a girl believing that I had a twin brother. And I asked her out as the twin brother. She said yes. Till she found out I didn't have a twin brother. And it's kind of fun. And I remember kind of going along. And I'd shorten the length of time before I'd say, I'm just kidding. Then I came across this proverb last week. No, it's been longer than that. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. Now, to get that picture, a firebrand is just basically a stick that was on fire, and you throw it and you catch thatched roofs on fire and other types of things, and arrows and death. So death and destruction. So like a madman just throwing death and destruction around, so is the one who deceives his neighbor and says, was I not joking? I was just kidding. Wow. I don't know if he was just talking about, you know, people go around telling tall tales, but that hit me hard. I realized that's a bad behavior. I need to stop that. It's not as funny as I think it is. It's time to move on. It's time to grow up. And so we see this, that this poetry allows us to kind of grasp something. And that was one of the first passages I could easily quote. It just struck me in the words that it used. So it's practical, it's poetical, but ultimately Proverbs is also very protective of us, like a parent that wants to keep us from getting off track, going too far in one direction or another, walking out into the street, doing dumb things. Listen to Proverbs chapter 2. Discretion, which is another kind of word for wisdom, knowing the right thing to do. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. It's trying to make sure we don't get caught up in something that ruins our lives. You know, one of the things that we've found about life, and maybe you figured this out, it's a whole lot easier to get into trouble than it is to get out of trouble. Have you ever noticed that? You can be in debt, $5,000, $10,000 in debt in a matter of seconds. How long, how many years will it take you to work that off? You know, I found that a couple of good donuts take a long time to work off. We can get ourselves into bad places. We can get involved in the wrong relationships. And then we're going, now how do I get back out of this? And it's not easy. And so Proverbs tries to say, look, before you get there, make some wise choices so you're not in that place. So you're not trapped. So you're not ensnared. So Proverbs tells us how life works, generally speaking. And so for the next couple of months, we're going to explore this powerful book. And I really invite you to be with us each week and explore this with us and see something that God may have for you. Because I think there's some real great jewels of truth. But in order for all that to happen, we need to understand this, that wisdom must be pursued. You cannot get wisdom by being passive, by just sitting back and waiting for it to wash over you. You have to go after it. And that's what the early chapters of Proverbs are telling us, really why it's important, why it's so valuable, and how you should go after it. Some time ago, I was glancing through a Guinness World Book of Records, and I found some interesting pursuits, some interesting records that people were trying to achieve. And I thought I would share a few of these with you. One guy, and I don't even know why anybody wants to do some of these things, but one guy held 109 honeybees in his mouth for 10 seconds. So if you're looking for a world record to break, 110 is your number. Another person pursued the record of the largest scorpion held in the mouth. Dean Shields was able to hold a scorpion measuring 7 inches in his mouth for 18 seconds. 1 second is one too many for me. Kanchana Kaikau of Thailand spent the longest time living with scorpions. He lived in a glass room of 100, I don't know what it is about scorpions, but it's the 129 square foot room, glass room, containing not one, not two, not 500, not 1,000, 3,000 scorpions for 32 days. I see some of the younger guys going, I could do that, man. That looks fun. Yeah. Another person held eight 2.5 foot long rattlesnakes for 12 and a half seconds. Apparently, there are a lot of people in the Guinness World Book of Records that have a death wish, I think. Here. But here's my favorite. A man by the name of Yoshiro Kubo holds the bonsai skydiving record. And here's what bonsai skydiving looks like. You get in a perfectly good airplane with a parachute. You go up to 10,000 feet. You take your perfectly good parachute and you throw it out the door. And then you jump out after it, pursue it, put it on, and then pull the ripcord. Sign me up, right? The world record. And I think the idea is you want short time here, not long time. Short time. The world record, his record, is 50 seconds. Which sounds okay. Until you realize, I did a little calculation, that from 10,000 feet to the ground, traveling at terminal velocity, you cover that distance in 60 seconds. 10 seconds to spare. Now, that's some people who really want their name in a record book. What about us when it comes to getting a hold of wisdom? Listen to this, Proverbs 4. Lay hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Hear it again. Get wisdom. Get it. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Go get it. Now again, that's not passive. And it's not shopping around. You've got to be intentional to achieve this kind of wisdom. You got to work out a little bit. You got to go after it. You know, if Angie sends me to the store or asks me to stop by the store and say, hey, and can you get X, Y, and Z for me while you're there? And I go to the store and I start looking around. Well, look at all the other stuff they have here. This is really cool. And I come back home. Well, did you give me X, Y, and Z? No, I got you A, B, and C. Many a man has had this conversation, haven't you? Get it. Go after it. Pursue it. And bring it back with you. Take it into your life and into your heart. Why? Well, simply this. Wisdom is better than folly. Now, that's a word we don't use, and you might also say foolishness. Folly is merely the actions of a fool. Proverbs 5 says this, the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. The cords of a sin hold him fast. He will die for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. Or how about this one? The heart of fools blurts out folly. You speak it. Proverbs 16 says, understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment or consequences, negative consequences to fools. Most of us, as we're growing up and we began to approach adult life, began to think, well, what kind of life do I want? What do I want to be true in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And that doesn't necessarily go away as we mature, as we get older. We're still thinking, what do I want the next stage or season of my life to look like? Do I want there to be peace in my life? Do I want there to be love, unity, joy? What do I want? Because if I pursue folly, if I pursue foolishness, if I pursue dumb decisions, I'm not going to get love and peace and all those things. I'm going to get the opposite. So I need to think about pursuing God's wisdom so I can experience the life that He wants me to have and I know I want to have. But the problem with this whole folly, foolishness thing is that the fool rarely thinks he is one or she is one. Scripture says the way of a fool seems right to him. The fool believes he is the wisest man around. You ever spend any time with someone like that? They just know everything. I kind of figured this out, saying I've come across some people who have actually proclaimed, you know, I'm usually the smartest guy in the room, and I think, then you need to find another room. You should always be looking for people who are smarter than you, know more, so you can learn from them and you can gain from them. A fool refuses to believe that they have something they can learn from someone else. And a fool so often acts impulsively or gives in easily to temptation. Listen to what that rest of that verse says. Remember, it says, the way of a fool seems right to him. It makes sense to him. This is the way to go. It says, but a wise man listens to advice. See, if we want to be wise, we have to go after that wisdom. We have to get it. And what the book of Proverbs, it is that advice for us. It's that source there for us. You may think that a fool is just kind of a unique and special breed of person. You either are one or you're not. But Proverbs teaches us that we are all born fools. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22 says. And it takes discipline and correction to have that removed. Because we are sinful people, raised by sinful people, there's usually a blind spot in our life. I've noticed, maybe you have too, that somebody can be really wise at work. They just know how to go in and do a good job for people. They're smart, you know, they just get it. But when they go home, they make some of the foolish decisions ever. Some people are, they get relationships. They absolutely understand. They know how to interact with people, to talk with other people. But when it comes to money, they just don't know how to handle it. They act like a fool. There's often some area of our life, somewhere hidden there, where the little inner fool just rears his head or her head and says, you should really go do that. That looks like fun. Or don't let them get one over on you. And so you act in a way that is opposite of God's word and opposite of a way that will be productive for you. What it comes down to is this. Our jobs as followers of Jesus is to pursue wisdom. To go get it. To go after it. Wisdom will help you in all parts of your life. It will help you at work. It will help you at home, in your friendships, in your recreation, your downtime. So what we need to do is enroll in the school of wisdom. That's why I encourage you, join us each week as we explore some. We're not going to look at every single verse of every single chapter. We're going to look at some key themes. But I do encourage you to use that little guide on the back of your outline. Let it prompt you to be thinking about the book of Proverbs. And let me tell you how to do. As you read through it, don't go in and say, okay, I'm going to read chapter 1 today. Done. Read through it. Ask God to kind of show you something there that you need to see and understand. And then if you see one particular proverb, like, oh, I think that's speaking to my situation right now, pay attention to that one. Think through it. What's it trying to tell you? Because what is happening is the Holy Spirit uses His word to help you and I make wise decisions. So go after it. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. So really, ultimately, true biblical wisdom, true wisdom that is practical, and protective, and helpful to you, that can guide you, begins by recognizing that there is a God in heaven who created this universe, created this world, and created you. And because He created you and me, He knows how life works best. But keep in mind that hearing the wisdom is not the same thing as acting on the wisdom. Taking it to heart. And you will be tempted to ignore it, to gloss over it. And that's why we have to really begin with this one particular place. Am I a follower of Jesus or not? Is he my Lord and Savior or not? Because if he's not, then this stuff won't make a lot of sense. Now, maybe it will lead you back the way when you see the practical nature of Scripture and you see the love that is there. Say, wow, that's some God who loves me. But when it comes to surrendering to that wisdom, it begins by surrendering to Jesus. And have you done that? I know that many of you in this room have. Some of you are still thinking about it, still wondering, still questioning, and that's okay. Just keep asking the questions. But that's a decision you need to make at some point. Or you've made the decision once, but now you're rethinking that decision. You're wondering if you really are going to follow through, if you really are going to follow Jesus, or if you're just going to follow him here, but not here. So as we go here into our decision time, I just encourage you to ask yourself a few questions. Do I want wisdom? Am I willing to kind of do some pursuit this coming week? And really look a little harder at wisdom so I can make good choices that bless other people and bless you and bless God. Am I following Jesus? Or am I asking him to follow me? Where's your heart at? Because where God wants your heart is you pursuing his. And that's what wisdom really comes down to, is pursuing the heart of God. So as we pray here in a moment and we sing together, I just encourage you, have a conversation with God about your next step. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word from as we've read your scriptures here and we've looked at them to allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to say something to each of us that we need to hear. Lord, I've spent too many years in foolishness. And even as I tried to grow wise, there were still areas of my life where foolishness reared its ugly head. But bit by bit, I've seen your patient leading and teaching me towards what is right and true and good. And I know that you're doing that in the lives of the folks who are gathered here this morning. And that you're calling them to a better way, a wiser way, a way that truly works because you made it to work that way. So help us, Father, to overcome our pride, set aside our resistance, and to trust you and your word in our lives. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.